ובסומך, חיה בנש, ובסומך, ובסומך, ובסומך. אוי, אני לא ידע, אני לא ידע.
I'd like to speak a little bit about Hanukkah.
That'd be a real Adela Yada.
Ask Mechila because I hope this comes out clear. Very tired this morning. The weather really threw me off, carpools and the works. Didn't really have time to prepare this. So, Mr. Hashem. Just something so gishmak about finding a limit close for Haman. Just something about it which is just so tempting. I don't know where I am. Okay. Haman. We know Haman was a very wealthy Jew. Oops. He was a Jew. He was a very wealthy person. It's going to be part of the share. He was a very wealthy person. And we'll speak about, Mitzvah Hashem, where exactly he got his money from. Why that's important. But when it fell into the hands of Mordechai and Esther, Chazal say in the Medrash that they divided it into three. And they give it away to tzedakah. They give a third to the Beis HaMikdash. They give a third to Talmidei Chachamim. And they kept a third for themselves. Needs hesber, because we know that when it comes to accepting money from a rasha for any davar shebekdusha, it's a real shaila. To accept money from Goyim, to accept money from Apikorsim. But here, not only did they use it for a shul, they use it for the Beis HaMikdash, and to be mefarnes, Talmid Chachamim and Tzadikim. So how can we understand that? Secondly, Chazal tell us, B'nei Banav Shal Haman Lamdu Torah B'nei Brak. The children of Haman learned Torah in B'nei Brak. This also seems very puzzling. How it could be that a Rasha like Haman, who tried to destroy every last inch of Kedusha, should have this chus that his children shall enter B'nei Brak. Thirdly, it says that when Ahasuerus was deciding what to do with Vashti, had to determine her fate, so it says that he called the Hakara of Elav. He called to his closest advisors to decide the matter. And the Gemara makes a drasha that the word hakarov is a lashon of karban. The Gemara says that at this time, the malachim were being malamid tzchus on b'nei Yisrael, that since they are makriv korbanos tzibur, that's why the word hakarov is a lashon karban, that because they're makriv korbanos tzibur, so we shouldn't allow Haman to get away with his plot. What does korbanos tzibur have to do with this? Why didn't could we say that because b'nei Yisrael are in the midst of Shabbos? What does Korbanos Tzibur have to do with saving the Yidden at this point in time? On top of that, we know that Chazal tell us that when Haman offered Ahasuerus his Aseres Alafim Kesef, Hashem intervened and said, wait a second, slow down. I gave Shkolim. I made sure that the Yidden should give Shkolim before you. Right? Pashup Pshat means that Yidden gave Shkalim the Midbar for the Mishkan. And the schus of those Shkalim should be all made against Haman's Shkalim, which he wishes to give. Like, Shekadmu Shikli Didi, the Shikli Didach. My Shkalim came before your Shkalim. This also is puzzling. Why is Haman's money, which he's using to destroy the Yidden, called Shkalim? That Hashem compares the two and says, well, my Shkalim came first. What do you mean my Shkalim came first? Why should Haman's money be called Shkalim altogether? Exterminating the Jews is called Shkalim? Also, the Gemara makes a drasha in Baba Basra. Tells a story, really. It says that they asked Shlomo HaMelech, they says, Ad heichem kochen shel tzedakah. Tell us how deep the mitzvah of tzedakah runs. What's the power? So he says, Ru'u ma'pshirish David Abba. Go look at what my father, David HaMelech, said about tzedakah. Pizar nasam levyonim, tzikoso omed esla'ad. That when you give, when you scatter, pizar means to scatter. When you scatter money to tzedakah, tzikoso omed esla'ad. That tzedakah remains forever. Karno torum b'chava. We can raise his horn, I mean, like his glory will be raised forever. How does this pasuk answer the question? I mean, they were looking for something very teeth. Like, just tell us really something juicy about tzedakah. Oh, it's a red pasuk. It's a pasuk at the Hillel. Pizah nasan l'yonis to cause manas lahad. So what exactly was Shlomo HaMelech bringing from to prove the power of tzedakah? Where does the money of Haman come from? Chazal say that there were two Ashirim in Torah and Tanakh, that because they were chotef their mammon, because they grabbed their mammon, it caused them to self-destruct. Korach and Haman. Where did Korach get his money from? From the otos of Yosef. That Yosef had in buried treasures, Korach found it, and from that he became rich. And where did Haman get his money from? So he said, Chazal say in the Medrash, that he found the otzos of the Malchus Yehuda, they found the treasures of the Malchus Beis Yehuda, and he found money which had been buried from the Beis HaMikdash. Puzzling. It's fascinating. Medrash, if we have time, which we never do, we'll try to make a connection between Haman and Korach. Like, what's the shaykhus between them? Now, this means that really Haman had his possession money from the Beis HaMikdash. And already the Radal points out, on Pirkei Devar Elazar, getting back to one of the questions which we asked, how could it be that the mammon of Haman was donated to the Beis HaMikdash, the Teretz is Pasha. That one of the Hashkachas in this Nes of Purim is that Haman found money which belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu ensured that it would return to the Beis HaMikdash. That what belongs to the Beis HaMikdash will ultimately go to the Beis HaMikdash. That's probably what has to do with Mordechai, who's called Mar Dror. Dror is the lashon which the Torah uses by Yovel, where there's a halacha by Dror that everything has to return to its source. That if it's karka, the karka has to return to its source. If an eved is an eved, he becomes free. V'shavu ish alachuzasa. Everything returns to its shayash. So this would make sense why Mordechai is called Dror, he's the man of Dror, because he returns everything to his shayash. Even the money which Achashverosh gave him, he understood from the money, this is not my money, this is money shel Hekdesh. And he returned it back to its source. So he was Mekayim, the Indian of Dror, which is why the Gemara says, Mordechai is a lashon Mar Dror. That it returns everything to its charge. This would explain also that which Rav Nachman says. He says very nicely. He says, you find that people who become rich, extremely rich, says they become mishugayim. Become mishugayim. He says it has to do with mamon shel neviim. Says that because of the money of Nevi'im is so high voltage, the Mammon Shel Nevi'im, so when Ashirim get Mammon Shel Nevi'im, cause them to become crazy. This would explain also the absurdity of Haman. He's Mammon Shel Meshuggah, right? Not only did he try to exterminate the entire people, right? He gave an etzah to kill Vashti, because Chazal say that he wanted his daughter to become queen. Not only that, he wanted to become king, which is why he hired, the Medrash says, Bigson and Seresh, to kill Achashverosh. So really he was behind everything which would happen in the Megillah. It's really everything Haman is behind it. Nothing doesn't happen without Haman's stamp. It's Mamash and Mishugas. It's craziness. But where does this Mishugas come from? The Teretz is that he had in his possession money, which is a very strong potency. Mamun, which was much, much higher than his Kedusha. Mamun, which he couldn't handle. It caused like a Shvira Sakelim. Like Rabbi Bamiga once said very nicely, that when people win the lottery, it takes like no time for them to become insane. Like they become in debt, and they kill themselves, v'chule, v'chule. It comes from the fact that the Mamun is too high for them, it's too much, it causes a Shvira Sakelim. They don't have the Kelim to receive that type of money. So here, Haman, he had the Mamun of Beis HaMikdash, which is Kedusha, it's Niskadash Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. So to have so much Kedusha in his possession, it caused him to go crazy. And to do all these crazy things. Which is why it makes a lot of sense that the Medrash actually darshans on Haman, the Pasuk in Kohelet, which says that there's Osher Shomur Lebalov L'Raso. That there's such a concept that money is in a person's possession, which is for his downfall. Which is exactly what happened to Haman. The Medrash is not just saying this is a coincidence. The Medrash is saying that this is a direct result. That because Mamon, which belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, was in the property of Haman, and he couldn't be soivel that, that's what caused his nefila. But there's also something implicit here which explains why they can give the money to the Beis HaMikdash, because Haman was never the Baalim on this Mamon. It says that it was Shamur Lebalov. That it was like a Shmir on the Kesef. The entire time he was like a Shomer. He was a Shomer on the money. It was just a short tkufa where the Mamon Beis HaMikdash was in somebody's hands, and that's called Haman. He was Shomer the Kesef. He was Shomer until it returned to the real Baalim, which is Mordechai and Esther, who are like the Gizbarim on the Beis HaMikdash, and then they returned it to the Beis HaMikdash. But it was never really his. So giving it to the Beis HaMikdash, which we started off as with the Kasha, how can you be that you're giving it to him? So first of all, it belonged to the Beis HaMikdash all the time. And secondly, Chazal don't even see it that Haman was actually Kohen of the Kesef. He was just considered to be a Shomer on the Kesef until returned to the Beis HaMikdash. But on top of that, you can say another thing. And that is that we know from Chazal that Haman was not his own person. That he was a Eved to Mordechai. And he was always an Eved. He never lost that status of being an Eved to Mordechai. If that's the case, there's a klal, Mashakana Eved Kana Rabbo, that really the kinyan which Haman had in the money wasn't his kinyan at all. It was Mamun which belonged to Mordechai all the time. In that case, the fact that Achashverosh gave the money to Mordechai wasn't just random, let me give it to Mordechai. There was a hashkach and the flaw that it was understood, Min HaShemayim, that this is Mordechai's money. This belonged to him. Which would explain why Mordechai kept some of the money, and he also gave some to the Beis HaMikdash. Because really, on the tzad that it belongs to Mordechai, Mashkan Evkon Rabu, belongs to him. He's entitled to that money. On the other hand, right, whatever the cheshvin that he made was, I don't know how to divide it, I don't know. But some went to the Beis HaMikdash because that's where it started off from. It belonged to Mamun Beis HaMikdash. But there was another thing which took place here, is that the money was divided into another third, which is that it was given also to Talmid HaChachamim. This idea of giving money to the Talmid Chachamim is actually very critical in answering many of these questions in Ritz Hashem. I'll turn to Rav Nachman again. Rav Nachman in Siman Reish Dalet, he says a klal, which the Chassam Sofer says and Chida reiterates. The Gemara discusses the idea of Aveira Mechaba Mitzvah or Ein Aveira Mechaba Mitzvah. When you do an Aveira, does it extinguish the Schos of a Mitzvah or does it not extinguish the Schos of a Mitzvah? So the Gemara says Aveira is Mechaba Mitzvah, aval Ein Aveira Mechaba Torah. An Aveira cannot extinguish the Mitzvah of Torah, only a Mitzvah. And here comes Rav Nachman and he says that money which is donated in order that people shall learn Torah, i.e. to Talmid HaChachamim, has the koach of Torah in this sense, and we apply about it, Ein Aveira Mechaba Staka. That Staka which is given to Talmid HaChachamim is considered to be Torah, and Aveira cannot put it out. That's what Rav Nachman says. And Chassam Sofer says the same thing. we can apply, we can explain a chida, the Rambam's the chida says, based on this, the chida says that if you take the word tzedakah and you make it atbash, now what does atbash mean? That every letter in the aleph base corresponds to another letter, starting from beginning to end. So aleph and taf are replaceable. Beis in a shin, gimel in a resh, a dalet in a kuf. So as we move towards the middle, those numbers make a shida. So he says, take the word tzedakah. Okay, so a tzadi is meschalef for a hey. Okay? Now a dalet is meschalef for a kuf. So we have a hey and a kuf. A kuf is meschalef for a dalet. We have a hey kuf dalet. And a hey is meschalef for a tzadi. So he says, tzedakah in atbash is tzedakah. That's what he says. It's a fascinating thing. It's gevaldik haremes. What does that mean? So we could say like this. The reason why tzedakah in atbash is tzedakah is because, like Rav Nachman says, even if a nevera comes and tries to be mischalif, tries to take away tzedakah by making it switch over, then it is a can't, because even if you flip over tzedakah, it still remains tzedakah. So that's a nevera mechavit tzedakah.
What does it mean to be a nevera to be mechalif tzedakah?
To be machlif something means to change it over from being good to being bad, or from being bad to being good.
Bad tzedakah?
No, let's say you did tzedakah, but now you did an aveira which would cause that aveira, which will cause that mitzvah to not be a mitzvah anymore. So the aveira wants to come along and change that mitzvah over, and to reveal like the acharayim, like the letters behind it, as if to flip it over. So even though a person does an aveira which causes the aveira to be ma'avir, to like change it over, with tzedakah, even when you flip over tzedakah into atbash, it's still tzedakah. You can't wipe away the mitzvah tzedakah.
Who says that about the atbash?
The chida says tzedakah in atbash is tzedakah. I'm just being mazvi, like, what's the pshat? But tzedakah in atbash is tzedakah. Now, why is this important? This is important because Mordechai and Esther, and this is the key, Mordechai and Esther, they understood and they were looking for a schus for Haman. They did not want Haman to go down without having any schos. This is the way of tzaddikim. The way of tzaddikim will, if you remind me, it'll be mazbe why it is Mordechai Bedavka. This is the way of tzaddikim. That they're always trying, even in the downfall of Rishayim, to find the schos for them. Like we find by Kriyas Yam Tov. Masa yadei tovim bayam. Right, the mitzvim are drowning in the sea and Hashem says, you want to sing Shira? What do you mean? Is it the Rishayim? Hashem says, no, I find schosim for everybody. Everybody will have a schos, especially based on that which we said last week, which we quoted Agav. The Chassam Sofer says that Haman had the din of a Yehudi because he was an Eved to Mordechai, and the din of an Eved Kanani is that he had the din of a Yid. So especially because Mordechai understood better than anybody else the secret that Haman kept from the world, that what? That Haman was really a Yid. So of course he has to find a schos for Haman. So the ultimate schos he could do for Haman is to give money to Talmid HaChachamim. Why? Because if it's anything else, then Haman has so many averos. Mamish, the biggest avera possible. Right? Mechias b'nei Yisrael. Every avera will put out the mitzvah. What mitzvah can I possibly come up with which will protect Haman that he'll never ever lose that schus? The only mitzvah is he wasn't a Talmid Chacham. It was only because he gave tzedakah to Talmid Chacham. That because he used Haman's money, he gave it to Talmid Chachamim, it blibed on it, ein avera mecha b'tairah. And as Chassam Sofer and Raran say, that it has a din of Talmid Torah, this tzedakah, so Mamela, he was able to be poilus chus for Haman, that nothing can put it out. Ein aver mechab. Now, if he's there, you can understand the Gemara. The Gemara says, in the middle of the Masechta, the Gemara brings many different psukim which the Tanoim would darshan when they would introduce the Parsha of Megillah. They would say, this Tana Pasach Lehi Parsha, he would explain like this. They quote, it's a funny thing, why they bring psukim as an introduction to the Megillah. Anyways, one of the psukim which the Gemara brings is the pasuk of that. What's the idea of Megillah? Says Varou Cholavsi Aretz Eis Yeshuas Elokeinu. Come and see the Yeshua which Hashem did to the world. That's the Pasha Pshat. It's an amazing Yeshua. but it's not so simple. What's this idea of Afsei Aretz? Afsei Aretz? Ru'u? Kol Afsei Aretz is Yeshua Selokinu? That all the Afsei Aretz should come and see the Yeshua. Who are the Afsei Aretz? The Teretz is, and why are we calling them? The Teretz is because the real nace of the Megillah, which will encourage anybody to come, is to see what happened to Haman. That's why they're called Afsei Aretz. Afsei is a Lashon Efes, which means that you're a zero. You're a zero. You're a nobody. Not just an ayin. Ayin, there's something which is called even more than an ayin. That's called Efes. The Torah says, Efes ki lo yihye b'cha evyon. Right? There will be no Efeses in Klal Yisrael. So you could be an ayin. You could be an ani ve'evyon. But an Efes, there's no Efeses in B'nai Yisrael. But here Mordechai and Esther are calling in the singer, Ooh, kol Afsei Aretz. All the Efeses in the world. All the Hamans in the world. Come and see as Yeshua Selokeinu. Come and see the Yeshua that Hashem did for even the Ephesus, even the zeros. Come and see the Yeshua which Hashem did.
Why is Haman in Ephesus? Why is Haman in
Ephesus? You know, he's on the bottom of the totem pole. There's nobody. He had zero. Nothing.
He's a Jew.
Huh?
He's a Jew.
Oh, so they found a schus for him. But Pashup Shad is that he became so low that he lost his Selam Elokim Lagamri. Mamash Lagamri, he lost his Selam Elokim. We'll be mazbi that momentarily. That's why they came onto the Mitzvah Tzedakah. But he was Ephes. He had no Tzelem Elokim left.
What's he called? Nizera Amalek.
Hmm?
Haman is considered Nizera Amalek.
Yeah.
It's like, how did that happen?
He comes from Agag.
Right.
Comes from Agag. That's his lineage. But he had this dichotomy of being a Yid and also being an Amalek at the same time.
Right.
Which has a lot to do with a lot of the contradiction which takes place in the Megillah. The fact that you can have like these extremities of Kedusha and Tumah in the world. That he was able to combine them. Like Chassam Sefer says that one of the nisim of Mordechai is that on the one hand he was the God of Israel, he was also Mishnah Lamelech. And it's that he was like Shnei Shulchanos, like he was able to be like totally up there in the as a prince in the world, but also he was the prince of Hashem. And Haman was the same thing, but just in a different realm. Like he was like a Yid, but also an Amaleki. Yeah. Esther also was the same thing. And you find a lot of Achashverosh also. He was a stable boy, which is like he took care of Susim, and then he was also king. He's like, everybody in the Megillah has this stira, this contradiction. Dakan. Thank you. Now, Haman. What does Haman do? He says to Achashverosh, he says, I'll buy the schus to exterminate the Yidden for 10,000 kesef, 10,000 shekel. And one of the questions which he asked was, how could this be called shekel? Right? Teretz is that where did this money come from? This money came from the Beis HaMikdash. Where did the Beis HaMikdash get the money from? It came from the shkolim that the Yidden gave to the Beis HaMikdash. So they were actually shkolim. Haman was actually going to give shkolim to Achashverosh. So yeah, and that's why it's called shkolim. He was going to give the money which the Yidden gave for Kabbanas HaTzibur. So that's why Hashem says, no, Kamu Shikli Didi L'Shikli Didach. My shkolim came first. Granted, you have money, right, which you're giving to, which was collected for the Beis HaMikdash, which is Shkolim, but I already give Shkolim to the Mishka before you, and my Shkolim is going to put you out. But anyways, you see the fact that Haman in his root was willing and able to give Shkolim for the purpose of destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Now this is important because this is going to help him. Because let's ask ourselves the following question. We spoke about before that Mordechai and Esther understood that the money, which was in Haman's Rishos, belonged to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why it returned to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? But in order to provide a schus for Haman, they had to find somehow, some way, that Haman had some type of a givingness, that he was willing to use the money for a good purpose. Otherwise, how can he have this schus? You have to be mitzarev and machshava tova to the Maisa. Otherwise, Haman is just totally disconnected from the schus. I mean, how did they find a way that Haman was connected to the schus of giving the money over to tzedakah? He had to have initiated something in order for them to fulfill that machshava tova. So Teretz is, and before we finish this idea of Shkolim, we'll come right back to it. That's what we quoted before about the pasuk in the Megillah, which says, "V'hakarov elav sheisa v'charkas." All these sheva sarisin, and the last one is memuchan, which means that memuchan, which is Haman, was involved in this like eitz of karbanos tzibur. Right? Don't wipe out the yidden because of karbanos tzibur. What's the connection? Right? The connection is that we know that B'nai Yisrael were living at a time right now where there was no Beis HaMikdash. The Mizbeach was on hold and there was no Beis HaMikdash. Right? So there's a tree in Shemayim of why there's no Beis HaMikdash. Why are there no Korbanos? So you know what Haman suggested? Because it was a tree in Shemayim that there should be Korbanos Tzibor, which is why here Haman, which you see Haman is the one who's making a connection to Korbanos Tzibor. Why him? Because he's connected to Korbanos Tzibor. How so? The reason why he wants to exterminate the Yidden is because he's saying like this. Really, Be'etzem, every Yid, when he does an Aveira, he should be the one on the Mizbeach. But we know there's a chesed that Hashem does, that instead of having the Yid go and give his life, B'poel on the Mizbeach, so our Behemah is used instead. But now that there's no Korbanos, so what is Haman coming to do? He's saying, listen, if there's no Korbanos, because you can't sacrifice animals anymore, then you have to go out, Pivita Sadin, Shech the Yidden. So the whole idea that Haman was offering Shkalim to destroy the Beis HaMikdash was from this Shoyrish, which the Gemara mentions earlier, that he's connected to Korbanos Tzibor. That he was saying to Achashverosh, who's Malka Shalom, Takarosh Baruch Hu, he's saying, listen, if there's no Korbanos nowadays, so we have to use, the Yidden have to be the Korbanos. And I'm willing to give the money to be Makav Korbanos. Here, take 10,000 Shkalim to destroy the Yidden, and that will be Korbanos HaTzibor, real Korbanos Tzibor. The Tzibor will be the Korban. Instead of having the Chesed, he wanted to be only the Korbanos on the Midas Adin. That instead of using the Chesed of Hashem, that a behavior comes in place of the Adam, we should just be Makav the Adam, because there's no Korbanos anymore. So what you see from here is that Haman has a Shorish Tov, and that he's connected to Korbanos Tzibor. That really, Mordechai and Esther understood this. That the fact that he was willing to give 10,000 shekel to kill the Yidden wasn't just Stam. He wanted to make a Machias Yisrael. Right? He had a Shorish of Yehudi. There had to be some Nekuda Tova. Elamai, he was connected to Korbanos Tzibor. And he wanted to be Makiv B'nei Yisrael as a Korbanos Tzibor. To which case, Mordechai and Esther said, oh, if that's the case, we see already a Machshava Tova. That he wanted to be Makiv B'nei Yisrael as a Korban. So hence, we can give his money to Tzedakah, and that will be a Schos for him. Because they saw that the offer of the Aseres Shkolim, the Aseres Alafim Shkolim, was already him putting that Schos in motion. That he was a Nodiv Tzedakah. And because they saw that he was a Nodiv Tzedakah, at his root, Mela, that which they gave the money to the Beis HaMikdash, to Talmidei Chachamim, created a Schos which cannot be erased. That's the pshat. Ru'u kol afse aretz yasushua salokeinu. Like David HaMelech says in Tehillim, "V'tzidkascha ad afse aretz." That Hashem tzedaka is even until the afse aretz. Familiar with that pasuk? "V'tzidkascha ad afse aretz." That even the afse aretz, they have a schos. Ru'u kol afse aretz yasushua salokeinu. So "V'tzidkascha ad afse aretz" is gematria va'aseres alafim. Which is what the Megillah says. That the 10,000 alafim, shekel, which Haman offered, the aseres alafim, is begematria v'tzidkascha ad afse aretz. Because from these 10,000 shekel, which he wanted to give, we see from here that Hashem tzedakah, note the word tzedakah, that the tzedakah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the schos of the tzedakah that the Rasha wants to give, is ad afse aretz. That even in afse aretz, he is a schos la'asalavo, that no avera can put out. And that was the schos that Mordechai and Esther ensured for Haman HaRasha. And why dafka the mitzvah of tzedakah? What Josh pointed out. The Zohar says that a person who gives tzedakah is zoche to a tzelem elokim. What's the raya? From Nebuchadnezzar. It says that Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream, which was not a good omen for him. And he came to Daniel and he said, Daniel, what can I do to protect myself from this dream of meeting my downfall? So Daniel says, give money to tzedakah. Give money to tzedakah. And the Zohar says that as long as he gave money to tzedakah, nothing happened to him. But as soon as he stopped giving money to tzedakah, he met his downfall. Why? Because when a person gives tzedakah, he has a tzelem elokim. And if he doesn't give tzedakah, chas v'chalila, then he does not have a tzelem elokim. He loses his tzelem elokim. What you see from this Zohar is that even a Rasha like Nebuchadnezzar, if he gives tzedakah, he can have a tzelem elokim.
As Zohar
mentioned, this is very telling because the Torah says Lo Salin Nivlasa Ala Eitz, that when a person dies from one of the asar, from one of the Arba Misos Bezin, he has to be hung on a tree for everybody to see. But the Torah says Lo Salin Nivlasa Ala Eitz, don't hang him too long, more than a day. Ki Kilalas Elokim Taloi, right? Because it's a klala, it's an aror for a tzelem elokim to be hung. That's how Rashi teaches based on Chazal. that a Tzelem Elokim cannot be bebizayon, hanging on a tree for more than a day. Now, what happened to Haman? He was hung. He was the ultimate Sala Nivlas Ala Eitz, which suggested very clearly that he had no Tzelem Elokim. Because the person who has a Tzelem Elokim can't be hung, or if he's hung, he can't be hung more than a day. But here, Haman was hanging, and hanging, and hanging. So Mordechai and Esther understood that if that's the case, then we have to act fast on Haman's behalf. That means that he has no Tzelem Elokim, which is not good. That means that he was such a Rasha Marusha, even though Mordechai knew better than anybody that he was a Yid, that we needed to give him a Tzelem Elokim because he had acted in such a way that even his Tzelem Elokim he was able to get rid of. So that's why they gave the mitzvah of tzedakah. Because they learned from Daniel, who actually was the in-between between Mordechai and Esther, the Gemara says, that he was Hasach, was going in between Mordechai and Esther, that he understood from Daniel what he had done with Nebuchadnezzar, who was only a generation before Haman, that the way to get a Tzelem Elokim is by giving tzedakah. So Mimela, the schus which they did were for Haman was by giving tzedakah. By giving tzedakah, they returned his Tzelem Elokim, and by doing so, they assured for him as schus la salavah.
How are you explaining Tzelem Elokim?
The Nekudas Hayehudi. Nekudas Hayehudi. So that's how we got that back. It's interesting, because the whole idea of Haman is that when we spoke about Karbanos Tzibar, he wanted to be minded the Karbanos Api Midas Adin. That instead of bringing an animal on the Mizbeach, if there's no animals to bring, so we'll bring the Bnei Yisrael on the Mizbeach, as if to say. What's interesting is that he wanted to be machlef in Adam for a Behema. Yeah? Adam for a Behema. And really, the whole idea of his zechus is through that mechanism also. Because the whole zechus for Haman, which we spoke about before, the shayrish of the idea of zechus for Haman comes from the Ari, who says that when you drink ad lo yada, you're supposed to say, Baruch Haman. Yeah? Baruch Haman. That's the root of where we find that there's a schus for Haman la'salava. What essentially happens when you mix up Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai is that you're being machlif and Adam for a behema. Because Haman was really a behema and Mordechai was a tzal malakit. Right? But the reason why the mechanism for this is that we're machlif, dafka, we're machlif in a way where we switch the Baruch for the Arur, that we should make what's chal on Haman be chal on Mordechai and vice versa, is because that was exactly Haman's Eitzah. So even the way that we find the schus for Haman on Purim is exactly the way that he wanted to make things happen. That we too, that we make our machlif, Mordechai for Haman, to make the baruch chal on Haman, kederech, that Haman tried to be machlif on the Mizbeach, one for the next. And that's why dafka yayin, because what do you bring on the Mizbeach? Bring yayin. So when you drink yayin on Purim, you're bechinas Mizbeach, you become the Mizbeach, right? That you become the Mizbeach, and by drinking Ma'ad lo yada, Memela, now it's like Bnei Yisrael and this Behema on the carbon, on the Mizbeach, which are now being machlif to make us close for Haman. So it's Mamash Hainuach.
Or being Aron Mordechai.
Did you ask that last week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, can't get off tangent. You don't have enough time to do this. Maybe afterwards, if Rav Shlomo doesn't come in.
He's not here.
Oh, he's not here. Okay. So, Mitzvah Shem, soon I will talk about it.
There's Saxon.
Okay. This is an important Maya Makom. Rashi says at the end of Parshas Vayikra, according to Chazal, Sefer Vayikra, he says like this, Kavua HaKasu Bracha, Chazal say, they were Koveya Bracha, even if a person does a mitzvah shalomidas, he still gets a bracha. Where is this learned out from tzedakah? That we know there's a din by tzedakah that if you drop money on the floor and somebody picks it up, you still get a mitzvah of tzedakah. Even though it's shalomidas. Why? Because the Achronim explained, because so if you did tzedakah. The Indian of tzedakah is that the ani should end up with money, and if somehow, some way, your money ends up in his rishos, into his pocket, you're going to count the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's like a din meyuchad by tzedakah, that we don't look at the maisa, we look at the totzah. That if the totzah is met, that a person ends up with the money, in the kind of mitzvah of tzedakah. Now why is this unbelievably important for this din? Because the whole idea of the schus for Haman, we said before, is inyan of tzedakah. That we do tzedakah for Haman, and that tzedakah of Haman is chasad av siyaretz. Right? But there's a din by tzedakah that even if you give it shalom idas, it still counts as tzedakah. So what's the whole mechanism that would give that bracha to Haman? As the Lashon of Rashi implies, kavas hakasav bracha l'misha bas al yada mitzvah shalom idas. You get a bracha. So how is Baruch Haman accomplished? How does he get that bracha? By drinking ad lo yada. That since you drink ad lo yada, you make a baruch to Haman. And where do we learn that out from tzedakah? Right, so the reason why we can make a bracha on Haman ad lo yada is because kavas hakasav bracha l'misha bas mitzvah yada shalom idas. So that's why dafka in the mitzvah of tzedakah, because that's the one mitzvah which works shalom idas, so you can get Haman in the bracha. With this, we can understand why banav lamed tar b'nei brak. How is it possible that Haman can have children who learn tar b'nei brak? First of all, he has a schus tzedakah. That's his schus l'asa lava. But that's directly associated with tzedakah, because Gemara Bava Basra says on Testament base, ha'oste tzedakah zoche lebanim bali chachma. So since Haman was bechlal, ha'oset tzedaka zoche lebalik the banim bali chachma bnei banav shel Haman lom tzar bnei brak. That's why. Now getting back to Pizah Nasa Levyonim. Pizah Nasa Levyonim. They ask Shlomo, what? Show us the power of tzedaka. What did David HaMelech say? Pizah Nasa Levyonim Sivkasa Omedes La'ad. Okay. Pizar nasa levyonim, right? Doesn't just mean that you give two aniyim, two evyonim. It means pizar nasa levyonim. The pizar, the tzedakah which you give on behalf of the evyonim, which means the hamams of the world. Pizar nasa levyonim. That when Mordechai and Esther gave money, which is pizar, for Haman, tzedakah omedes la'ad. Pizar, yeah? Pizar means that you scatter. Now how does scattering have to do with this money particularly? Because they didn't just give it all at once. They give it into three. They said, I'm going to give a third here, I'm going to give a third here, and give a third here. That's called pizar. And for that, they cause a schus for Haman, which is alluded to in the Gemara, which says, pizar na l'rishayim. Pizar is good for rishayim. Yeah? So pizar, nasa levyonim, tzikasa medes la'ad. It actually goes very nicely, because the Rav Nachman, the third Rav Nachman in this drasha, Rav Nachman elsewhere, in Tinyana Chafes, he writes something very interesting, which connects us together. He says that pizar, Nasan le'evyonim is Rashi Tevos Nafal. Nafal. Yeah? So it's Gevaldik. Because what does it say about Haman? For Haman noifel al hamita. Right? That the whole demise of Haman was that he was nofel. Nun pe lamim, which is Rashi Tevos Pisa Nasa le'evyonim. So even in his demise, when he was dying, they alluded this idea of Pisa Nasa le'evyonim in Haman noifel al hamita, which is the pasuk in the Megillah, to allude to the fact that through this pizah nasal levyonim, which they would do later, that even though he's a no-fail, he's going to have a schos lasa lavo. That's why it says, pizah nasal levyonim, tzikaso, omedes la'ad. What does it mean, omedes la'ad? It can never be extinguished. That's the degree. Now, according to this, it makes gavaldic sense. Why? Because they asked Shlomo, show me how amazing, ad kama kochan shal tzedakah. You know how far it goes? Even to the Haman. That if you're pizah nasal levyonim, tzikaso, omedes la'ad. You can never take away his schos, even from Muhammad Harasha, when you do a pizah nasal levyonim. There's a whole other segment here. Well, we'll start it. It says like this. The Maggid says, it's really hard to start this because it's like another 10-15 minutes.
I'm still holding the Aggit from last week.
No, maybe if Chev is still here 10 minutes now, I want to keep people waiting. I'll just share with you one last inyan about this inyan. It says, the Gemara, the Medrash darshan is about Haman. It says, Hon va'osha b'besa, tzikaso medes la'ad. That's what it says about. So, the word hon, which means like rechush, is a remez to Haman, actually. How so? Because the Ari says that the letter kuf is the eighth. But the ace that Haman was hung on is a kuf. It says that Haman was hung by the regal of the kuf. In other words, the kuf drops down, goes below. He was hung because of the zanve de nachash, the zana of the tail of the nachash. He was hung by the tail of the nachash, which is this kuf. So it could be that this that this kuf is a remez to hon. How so? Because if really the letter kuf is really a hey, which is with an extended leg, called the zanvei de nachash, which is the tail of the nachash. About this kuf, the Zohar says ragleha yordos mavis, that the foot of the kuf dips down into death. It goes like below the surface. So really what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to cut off that kuf, the regal of the kuf, because you have to cut away the misa. When you cut away the misa, you create a hey, letter hey. Which means to say that Haman was hung on the letter hey. It's really a kuf, but when he was hung on it, it became a hey, which alludes to his tikkun. Okay? So the kuf becomes a hey, which is why the Megillah calls it ha-eitz. Ha-eitz. Ha-eitz means hey eitz, that the eitz is a hey. Okay? The eitz is a hey. So Haman was hung on a hey. There's also nun amahai. Nun amma. So if you take the hay with the nun amma, it spells hon. Hon. So that's why about Haman it says hon va'osha bebeso, that because he had hon, which is a remez to this eight, but also to his money, va'osha bebeso tikaso medisla, right? It has stuck a last forever. So that's exactly what happened. Because Haman had, because of this hon and because of this osha, which he had, his sukka, his chos last forever. I just want to say one thing also. A few more minutes, and it's not like a whole new drasha, but just the connection between Korach and Haman is something very fascinating. Rabbi Yonasan Aivshitz brings from the Kabbalim that Mordechai was a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach was a Gilgal of the Mitzri, which Moshe killed. And Esther was a Gilgal of Basya, which is why it says about it that Mordechai took her as a Bas. Because Bas means Basya. That just like Basya took Moshe as her son, in the next Gilgal, Mordechai took Esther as his daughter. That's what a Gilgal is about. Gilgal means about paying back what you didn't, what happened the first time. And he says a gevaldic thing. He says, what do you find that by Basya, that when she went to get Moshe, that her hand stretched out, whatever it was, like 15 amah, whatever it was, in order to get Moshe? That's why you find that when Esther came into Achashverosh, that Achashverosh's staff extended towards her. The same exact thing. It was Ma'ir, the same Z'chus. That in the Z'chus that Basya stuck out her hand to get Moshe, Hashem stuck out his hand, Kivyachal, in order to save Esther. That in itself is just unbelievable. So again, so based on this, like this. Moshe, Mordechai, Haman, Korach, Esther Basya. The Magid Mishraim, Rav Yosef Cairo, the Magid told him that as soon as the Ish Mitzri was killed by Moshe, Korach was born. Korach was born at the very moment that Moshe killed the Mitzri. Which means that Moshe had the neshama, that Korach had the neshama of the Ish Mitzri. Which is why Korach had it against Moshe. The reason why Korach wanted to replace Moshe, is because this was a vengeance which he had from the fact that he killed the Ish Mitzri. It's just amazing. When you understand the Gilgulim, like so many things come into place. It's just like unbelievable why it should be the way it is. So that's why Korach had it in for Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was the Ish Mitzri. Now we said before that that Korach found the money of Yosef, and Haman found the money of the Beis HaMikdash. Really? That's a chazal, compare them together. But really, that means that Korach and Haman share the same shayrish. Right? Because we said, Mordechai is Moshe, Haman is the Ish Mitzri, and Basya is Esther. So that means that Korach and Haman come from the exact same shoresh, which would explain why it fell into their laps, this money. Because they were neshamas which were already prepared from beforehand that they should be zocha to a lottery. Okay, so now like this, it's very interesting that Korach had the money of Yosef, which means that in essence, even Haman has a shaykhis to this money of Yosef. Even Haman has a shaykhis, because Haman and Korach share the same root. I'm curious to find, and I bet that it is, that this money which came to the Beis HaMikdash, which Haman got, was the original money that Yosef had. It just makes too much sense. So, what's interesting is like this, is that the Tzaddikim say, that what happened We said before that the money which Ahasuerus gave of Haman's rechush was given to Mordechai and Esther. Now who's Mordechai? The tzaddik can say that Mordechai was a nitzitz of Yosef. That's why it's called Mordechai HaTzadik, right? Yosef HaTzadik, they both have the quality of tzaddik. And there's many things about the Megillah which pertain to Yosef and the brothers. It was a whole tikkun from Mechiras Yosef. Right? Mordechai is a lashon Yad Machar, that he was sold, right, by the brothers. There's a lot of connections between the Mechira, which is why Esther says, Kinyan Karnu Ani V'Ami, that Haman is trying to sell me. And where does that selling come from? He wasn't trying to sell you, he was trying to destroy you. Teretz, she was alluding to the fact that it was called Mechiras Yosef. The money which came ultimately back into Mordechai's pocket, right, was really Yosef, because Mordechai is Yosef. So because the money has a shaykhis to Yosef at its shayrish, because Haman equals Kairach, and Kairach equals getting Yosef's rechush. So that's why when the money actually came back to Mordechai's pocket, that was in essence the money of Yosef returning to his pocket. In the same way, right, that the money of the Beis HaMikdash also returned back to where it belonged to. So everything in Mitzad Gilgal has a way of coming about, you know, round circle. Everything finds its way back to the beginning. Okay, we'll hold it here. It's just good to know that. Oh, just one last thing about Mordechai. What's the reason why Mordechai, that he was looking for a zechus? He was looking for a zechus for Haman. We know this is the way of tzaddikim, but why dafka Mordechai? Except to know something about Mordechai's shorish. Megillah tells us that Mordechai is called Ben Shimi. So his father's name was not Shimi. Chazal say that Shimi, which is being referred to here, is Shimi Ben Gera, who was the Rasha who cursed David HaMelech. So the Medrash says that David HaMelech says about the Megillah, Zachrini Hashem Bertzon Amecha, remember me in the story of the Megillah. So the Mefarshim asks, what does David have to do with the Megillah? So some of the Mefarshim say that because of the following incident, which I'm about to tell you, David HaMelech is responsible for the Megillah. If it wouldn't be for David, there would be no Megillah. How? It says that when Shimi cursed David HaMelech, Shimi was chayv misa, also being morid b'malchus, by rebelling against the king. But David HaMelech was shosig, and he said, lo yomos ish Yisrael hayom. Or hayom lo yomos ish Yisrael. He says, today a Jew will not die. What was he saying? He was saying, really he should die. Alpi Based him, because he's a morib b'machol shini. I should kill him right now. But Chazal say that David HaMelech had a flash and he saw that Mordechai would come from Shimi. And because he saw in Beruach HaKodesh that Mordechai would come from Shimi, he didn't kill him. That's why he told Shlomo, and on his deathbed, use your chachma to kill Shimi. Meaning, after he's had all his children and he has no children left inside of him, make sure you kill Shimi. Don't let him go to the grave as an old man. And that's what Shlomo did. He killed him with chachmasa. But David HaMelech is responsible for the birth of Mordechai, because had he killed Shimi at that time, there would be no Mordechai. That's what Chazal say, that the reason why Mordechai is called an Ish Yehudi, Al Shevi Yehuda, is because David, who comes from Yehuda, is responsible for Mordechai being alive. That means that Mordechai is considered to be attributed to David HaMelech. Okay? By the way, Chevra, it's not just that David saw that Mordechai would be born. It wasn't the pshat. It was the pshat that because he was shosik, because he wouldn't kill him, that's why Mordechai would be born. Meaning that because he was in a matzav right now where he was being embarrassed publicly by Shimi, that he was cursed publicly. If he would be shosik and be sovel, then out of that tzchus, Mordechai would be born. Not the pshat, just that he saw that Mordechai would come from him. David created Mordechai by being shosik and by not killing him. And Targum, the Targum Sheni says, that why did he not kill Shimi? He wanted to not kill Shimi so that Mordechai should be born, so that Shimi would have a schus la amada ase. So that Shimi would have a schus la selava. That's what the Targum Sheni says. That David was concerned about Shimi's fate, which is an unbelievable thing. Here, Shimi is cursing him, he's a rasha. He embarrassed him publicly by cursing the king, publicly. And the only thing David HaMelech was concerned about at that time was, how can I make Shimi get into Olam Haba? Because he cursed David HaMelech, which is Mashiach Shal Yisrael, because he cursed him, he didn't have a schus la'salava. The whole schus of Mashiach is that everybody he has is schus la'salava. But if you curse the Mashiach and you detach yourself from Mashiach, which is David, then how do you have a schus la'salava? So David had to act fast in order to find the schus that Shimi should have a schus la'salava. That's how deep the Avos Yisrael run ran of David HaMelech. That he scrambled for a schos for Shimei. And Hashem showed him a schos, that if you're shosik, if you don't kill him, Mordechai will be born, and that will be his schos. So that means that later on in history, Mordechai is called Ben Shimei, because he was the one who ensured that Shimei would have a schos l'asavot. Now getting back to your question, how could it be that Mordechai is the one, right, who is so concerned about Haman? Because he comes from a place that David is so concerned about Shimei. That's the pshat. That in the same way that David HaMelech, at the time that Shimei cursed him, which is the idea of Ar Haman, by the way, right? That when Shimei cursed David, he was already involved in finding a schos for the person who cursed him. So too, Mordechai, although he was cursed by Haman, the Ar Mordechai, he was involved in a schos at that very time in finding a schos for Haman, and he had a schos for Haman. That's what it means to have a nitzitz of Mashiach. A nitzitz of Mashiach is that a person cares nothing about himself. The only thing he cares about is Hashem. He cares about Yidden to make sure that everybody has schos l'asavot l'avodah zarah.
I mean, there's a lot of source. Mordechai is coming from an avera, a terrible avera. Is that the
Avera Mordechai? Oh. That's the Mordechai. That's the pshat Vayavar Mordechai. The Gemara says that he did an avera by being mevatel Karban Pesach. So he had that koyach to be mevatel, using the koyach of avera in the same way that David did an avera by not killing Shimei. That's why I said that Avishai was upset with David. He said, "How can you let me get away?" So Marv Machas, if he wanted to be mind of the din, I'll be din tayra. He was right, but he didn't know that David HaMelech was able to see much farther than that. That's the same thing here. That Esther Mordechai, they had a dispute. They had an argument. So Esther was able to convince Mordechai to forgive the Korban Pesach that year, but it resonated with him because at his shayresh he was created out of there. Made the whole niece of the Nefil of Haman Athel to have come through that. I do know that. Okay.